You can't swear, Phoebe.
But you swear all the time.
Yeah, and it didn't hold me back, because I'm a footballer. No one cares if we swear, it's part of the job. It's encouraged. But you can't be a doctor, or a teacher, or a...
veterinarian for wild animals.
Or a veterinarian for wild animals. I still don't get how that works. What, you treat them in the woods and no one pays you? Do you know what? It doesn't matter. The point is, you can't do that if you swear all the time.
Yeah, that is my beloved Roy Kent from Ted Lasso. And I've been buzzing all week because on Monday, we got a teeny tiny snippet that shows Ted Lasso season 4 is now in production. I mentioned it on The Hard Shoulder on Wednesday. If you haven't watched this show, do yourself a favor and watch it. Season 1 in particular just makes my heart so happy. There are certain bits of Ted Lasso that I quote on a daily basis. I have a Believe sticker on my laptop. It is just a gorgeous program. And I'm very excited to see what they do with season 4. I'll be honest, season 3 was a bit hit and miss for me. I know some people absolutely loved it, but it was a bit hit and miss for me. So I'll be interested to see, as I said, what they do with season 4. But yeah, I cannot wait. Anyway, we're going to move on now. I mentioned at the top of the show that I am abusing my position. And I do think I'm not the only person with these questions, so I hope you'll bear with me. But we are in the position at home where we're talking about buying a car. And this will be the very first car we have ever owned. I don't drive. My partner's learning to drive and hopefully we'll get his test, pass his test, and we can live happily ever after. But I was texting Derek Riley of Nevo.ie the other day and I said, Derek, what do you think about this car? What do you think about this car? And then I realised that maybe this could be an item for the show. So Derek, how are you?
Very, very good. The sun is shining. I'll not complain.
Yeah, exactly. We have to take it while we can. And so we're going to go right back to basics. And I want to kind of get my questions answered, but also your insight. So as I mentioned there, we have never owned a car. We can't do things that you often recommend, you know, in terms of seeing what your normal range is and all the rest, because we don't know. So does buying an EV as your first car make sense?
Absolutely. If it works out for you, if you know you're not doing massive range, if you can charge at home, if you've got an off-street parking space, yes, a vehicle of any sort, but obviously I'm biased towards the electric vehicle. No problem having an electric vehicle as your first vehicle. And what we're seeing is more and more people are doing that. They're only getting a license that's automatic, and that entitles them to drive any automatic vehicle, and all electric vehicles are automatic.
Okay. So that is a very sort of clean, concise answer. When it comes to your range, because again, because we've never had a car, we don't know the potential of this. So for example, I get to work every day on the Lewis. So I have a 9-minute walk from my front door to the Lewis, and then I'm 19 minutes on the Lewis and into the office I go. So that's not going to change. That for me is my daily commute. But every now and then we might go down to the Shannon, to Carrick and Shannon, hang out on the river, enjoy the nice scenery and all the rest. Up until this point, we did that on the train. That system works, but it would be the dream to have a car. That's once a month. So how do we go about calculating the range that that trip might potentially require?
Not being smart, but any EV will get you where you want to go. It's how long it's going to take you to get there. So those EVs with super small batteries, so you're saying 200 kilometers, even that would get you to Carrick and Shannon. But if you did go down to pick a random town in Belmullet, Jess, I don't know, pick one.
I wish I could. A town in Belmullet. Let's go with that. Yeah, go on.
Yes, perfect. Belmullet. And the you will maybe get to a wedding, or you might be have to go down to a family funeral, or you might, there's lots of reasons you'll be going around the country. So you're never going to know the full extent of the range you're going to have to get. What we're looking at now is a lot of the electric vehicles that are on the market have a range good enough for 95% of the trips that you're going to be doing. There will be the occasional trips down to Dingle or Belmullet or up to Donegal, up to Carndonagh, where there are super long journeys. Mm. And all you're going to have to do there, Jess, then is just plan it out a bit more. You're going to have to stop along the way and charge somewhere. You're going to be stopping on a longer journey anyway to go to the restroom and buy, have a bite to eat. pick up a tourist scenic spot. It's all about the staycations now. And so lots of EVs have decent enough range. Some of them have extra long range. Guinness World Record set a couple of weeks ago, 1,200 kilometers. Jess and your partner, you won't need that kind of stuff. So 250, 350, 450, plenty. Dún Laoghaire or the east coast to the west coast to Belmullet is 320 kilometers. So in your head, if it's over 350 kilometers, that's going to get me from one side of the country to the next.
Okay.
Top to bottom, the country is 600 kilometers, but that's going from Mizzen to Malin. You're never going to have to do that run either. So within that remit, within that matrix, you're going to find new EVs are sitting in the sweet spot there of you're spinning down to Carrick and Shannon, you're spinning down to Limerick, you're spinning down to Galway, wherever it may be, and usually you'll get the whole way without even having to stop and charge.
Okay. Now, the next point, and this is something that we spoke about many, many moons ago, and that is the infrastructure around the country. So, say we are doing one of those across the country trips. So, we live in Dublin, say we're heading over to Galway or to Mayo or whatever. How do we go about finding the charging points along the way? And is the fear factor still there? Because I remember Andrea Gilligan talking about this once, that when you get to a charger point, the charger will be out of service.
More and more chargers coming online every day, every week. There's about 100 hubs in planning at the moment. So local authorities, charge point operators, a lot of people are putting in a lot of EV infrastructure. It couldn't be better with regards to pipeline. On the ground, busier weekends, things are going to get busy, obviously. So petrol stations are going to be busy. Those motorway services are going to be busy. So yes, Andrea was also travelling up to Donegal. So the extremities of the country, the coastal counties of the country, sometimes have less density of chargers. It is getting better. And the Zero Emission Vehicle Ireland office are putting in funding, not just for motorways, but for national primary, national secondary roads. So chargers are going into locations that where people will need them, be that petrol forecourts, be that motorway services, be that civic centres, restaurants, hotels, etc. How do you find them? A lot of EVs will have their built-in sat navigation will have a map of all the chargers in Ireland, be that as example ESB, ePower, Weave, Circle K. So there'll be all these new names that you'll start to become accustomed to if you do go electric. And all you want is to understand, I don't care what the charger is, I just want to know there's a charger there, that it's fast enough. So what we're seeing is the high power chargers more and more. People just want to be in 20 minutes and gone. Whereas before, you'd have to say 40 minutes. And so faster chargers, the cars are going to be able to take them. And so there's a couple of ESB is the number one charging network in Ireland, ESB eCars. So their app will show you where their cars are, or those chargers are. You have ePower, you have Circle K, you have Ionity, you have all the others. But there's a couple of apps where you can actually like Plug Surfing and PlugShare will show you where every charger in the country is on your phone. So you don't have to be sitting in your car. Sometimes your app of your car will have the map on it as well. If you're on your desktop or a tablet or even on your phone, you can come to the Nevo website and you can say, I'm going from Dublin down to Carrick and Shannon or down to Limerick. Show me where all the chargers are.
Okay.
And then on that route, it'll show you where every single slow and fast charger is. And you can put in the make and model of your car and it'll actually show you if you have to stop, where and for how long. So if you're going to Limerick, you might need to stop in Cashel and it'll start take you 17 minutes to get you enough juice to get to where you want to go. And you can also, it understands that you want 25% battery when you get there. Lots of different scenarios. You might be staying in a place where there isn't a charger. A lot of hotels have those now. So there's a number of apps out there, a number of the vehicles have that data themselves. And now with legislation coming from Europe, we're seeing that the charge point operators are having to report back into these apps to say, there's four chargers there. Two of them are occupied at the moment. This is the wattage that are, or the power that they're putting out, the voltage. This is the cost. And of the four, one of them is broken, like Andrea's point. So I know that there's three chargers there. I know two of them are currently being in use, but by the time I get there might be two free and I'll be able to plug in. So that data, that centralization of that gathering of that data is becoming better and better. And because the European Union, and then in tandem, then the Irish government and the Irish departments are saying to the charge point operators here, okay, we need to see your data. You need to share your data. We need to see what in the industry we call uptime. Mm-hmm. So how much has that charger been working? If the uptime is only 90%, 10% of the time isn't good enough. What we're striving for is a 99% uptime. Mm. So that whenever Jess is driving around the country, she knows whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whether it's Tuesday night or Saturday morning, that those chargers are really good quality hardware. The charge point operator looks after them. The maintenance is good. And I can see that the uptime is 99% plus. So they're not going to be broken down. Number one, there's enough of them there in a bank. And so that I know that I might only have to wait 5-10 minutes because there's 6 of them or 8 of them. And then there's people, there's a turnover of a faster occasion.
Okay, next question then is, and again, this is something that we've touched upon before, and that is the charging at home. And we have spoken to the SEAI and a few other groups, like we had Ford on the show a few months ago talking about the initiatives that they have when it comes to home chargers and all the rest. And we'll talk about cars in a second, but when you're going to buy an EV, does the charger come with it? Or is that, as in, can you opt to pay for it through the dealership? Or is it something that you go about and get on your own? And if so, who are the providers and how much are they?
Great question. And this really is the first question. We talked about range. We talked about public charging. If you're thinking about getting an electric vehicle, the first thing we need to look at is, can you charge at home and how are we going to charge at home? Mm. What I mean by can you charge at home, do you have off-street parking? So when I was living in Library Road in Dunleary, there was no dedicated off-street parking for me. So I wouldn't have been able to put in my own charger unless I wanted to cross the cable across the footpath. Local authorities in Ireland don't like that. They're trialing solutions in the United Kingdom. Some legislation and policy framework was talked about during the week called private wires, because at the moment, the only person that can cross footpath is ESB networks with an electric cable. And so doing it yourself, it's illegal. So you shouldn't be doing that. So if you've got a parking space, happy days. A lot of new developments will be putting in provisions for chargers. So I've recently moved. I'm looking out the window here now and I can see every single parking space across the road from me will have a charger between two, and you can put in a double charger on the top of it. So new properties, no problem. Older properties, people need to be aware that you need to get a survey done by a registered electrician, safe electric electrician, to come along and say, if you're going to put in a charger, you may need to upgrade some of your internal wiring, fuse box, et cetera, et cetera. Because a lot of properties in Ireland built 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago wouldn't have had the capacity to take an electric shower, an electric oven, and a car charger. And so you just need to upgrade that. So you need to consider that cost. So a registered electrician will say, these are the works that are going to be required, and this is the cost of that. So the charger, and to your point just then, where do you get the charger? You can buy it yourself. You can go through a local electrician. You can, some manufacturers will gift you a charger if you buy a new car off them. So there'll be different offers. For an example, Hyundai have an offer at the moment, so that when you buy the Ioniq 9 off them, beautiful 7-seater with Energia, if you switch your energy over to Energia, they'll give you a free charger then, but you're in a contract maybe 12-24 months. So crunching the numbers and all of that, you can literally go out and buy your own charger in an electrical wholesaler and get a local electrician to do it for you, or the electrician ring them up, whoever your local Sparks is, and say, I'm looking to get an EV charger. What do you fit and what do you recommend?
Mm.
Do you want a bit more detail on the home charger? Because there is one other thing people need to consider with a home charger.
Go on. Yeah, tell me.
Solar powered compatibility. Mm. So you may not have solar today, Jess, but you may be getting it next year in 5 years time. Some of the chargers are compatible with solar. And what I mean by that is, on a sunny day when your car is parked outside, you can tell the charger, give me all of that nice green free energy, put it into my EV. Or you might have a home battery charge, sorry, storage. And so there's a whole ecosystem there. So just have a little bit of think about how you want to power your car. And if you are going for solar, the last point on the home charger then is, there's two different main types. One called a tethered one, or one with a cable attached to it. And the other one is an untethered. It just means there's a socket and you have to plug in and plug out your cable every time. Some people don't like the look of all the cable hanging off it. Some people like a nice little socket on the wall. Some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller, some of them have screens, some of them don't. there's different prices within that. You're thinking there's a grant at the moment as well from the SEAI, and that will give you, I think it's €300 off the cost of the charger and the installation. So you'll get a charger installed on the wall after grant between 1,000 and 1,500 euros.
Okay, well, that isn't too bad. It's more, it's less than I thought it was going to be. But okay. But one point, so we're fortunate enough that we have our own drive, so we could get a charger installed and that would be fine. But I remember I was filling in for Andrea on Lunchtime Live a few months ago, and I was speaking to residents in Adamstown who had the chargers. Is this what you were alluding to, in that it's only ESB that can cross the paths and install them? So for somebody who's in my situation but maybe doesn't have a driveway, they have a spot, they just need to be extra careful in terms of the permissions and the processes to getting it.
Well, technically, right? At the moment they're not allowed to do it, but in the UK they have things where they actually drill a little channel in the footpath, and then you can plug the socket into the outside of your house and then feed the cable into the little channel, and then your car is parked on the other side of the footpath. So there's a couple of, there's Kerbo Charge and E-Gully and all these kind of names. There has recently been a case where there's, I think it's Dutch or Danish, a piece of equipment called a charge arm. So that would sit on your property and then reach out over the footpath and down, and then you can plug in your charger. There has been a case recently where somebody installed that against local authority permission, and the local authority have come along and say, you need to remove that. You don't have planning permit. It's crossing the footpath. You are not ESB networks. So there are people out there looking for forgiveness after doing something, but obviously we want to make sure that people are safe. There's no trip hazards, et cetera, et cetera. Who's liable if something goes wrong? So it is a work in progress at the moment, and I'm keeping a close eye on the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland because they're trialling it at the moment.
Okay, so that is just something to be mindful of. So let's then look at the cars. So we, the ones that I, like, you know, I love Mini, right? I've always dreamed of having a Mini. But it should be stressed, I won't be the person driving this car. I will be driven in this car because I am not the one who's learning to drive. So, so some of the ones that have caught my eye, based on conversations that you and I have had, and also then just from really, really light snooping around online, the BYD Seal is one that jumps out at me. Also, the Volkswagen, is it the ID4, which is the nice kind of compact one? What are the considerations in terms of a vehicle when you are going to buy your very first car?
Now, both of those, one of those would be a large SUV considered within the industry, and then the other one would be a saloon. So the smaller ones then would be a BYD, BYD Atto 2, Atto 3, and then the Seal is the big saloon, kind of Tesla Model 3 size. Mm. The ID4 is an SUV. The smaller hatchback version then is the ID3. So just an understanding as to where we are size-wise, ranking-wise. There's 120-odd different types of electric vehicles currently on the market, and there's more coming this year as well. There's probably going to be another 10 or 15 coming. There's new brands coming, there's new shapes, there's new sizes. So yeah, if you're going to start going down that road, it's going to be a process of elimination. You're looking at, what size is your partner, tall, is there, in the sense of fitting in a smaller vehicle, do you need the bigger vehicle? Are you going to have people sitting in the back on a regular basis? How much luggage slash capacity do you need to be carrying? What size battery do you need? We are seeing some smaller vehicles getting bigger batteries because people say, I don't need a big car, but I do like an extra bit of range. Mm. And so, yeah, there's definitely things to be considering there. Nevo.ie, we have a vehicle comparison tool on there. And so rather than having to go to each of the individual brand websites, you can come to Nevo and go, this is my budget, or this is the range I'm looking for, et cetera, et cetera. And you can put it into the search bar on the left-hand side, and then the system will say, well, these are the cars meeting your criteria. And then via that, then you can start comparing 1, 2, 3, 4 models, narrowing it down, and then you can book your test drives through ourselves as well, or come along to our show in November, where we'll have all of them on display in the RDS, and you can do in one hit all of them rather than having to run around all the different showrooms.
So if we were looking for, so let's start at the smaller size. what are the compromises that you're making along the way? Like, obviously there's like boot size and all the rest, but are there small compact cars that have decent range, good tech inside and all that kind of jazz?
Yes. So you're talking an electric Mini. You love the brand, so they do a version of that. If the Mini is slightly too small for you, the next step up then from that would be the Mini Aceman, which is the 5-door, bit more space in the rear. You're talking the MG4. So I currently have a long-term loan with the MG4. Bigger battery, sits 4 to 5 adults, 2 in the back, 2 in the front, but you could potentially squeeze 3. Decent-sized boot would get you all the way to Belmullet without having to stop and charge. You know, good quality driving experience. So that's the MG4, BYD Dolphin, another good quality car, has Android Auto, Apple CarPlay wirelessly, rotating screen. Again, good space in the boot, good space in the back. There's so many of them. Citroen EC3, I'm going to get in trouble now for not mentioning somebody. But that space, I think, is getting better and better, because when EVs came out first, manufacturers went, okay, it's going to be the early adopters. We want to invest in the R&D. We're going to have to recoup that. It's going to be a premium SUV. It's going to be a large car. And again, a lot of people don't need that. But 3, 4, 5 years ago, that's all you could get. Really, Renault Zoe was out there, don't get me wrong, then Nissan Leaf as well, Tesla Model 3. But now we're starting to see manufacturers saying, right, we're really going to start offering to the mass market. We've got the Opel Frontera, which is built on the same platform as the Citroen EC3, which is actually having its Irish launch on Monday. So you'll see a lot of stuff on that coming into the marketplace. So choice, you're not going to have a problem with choice. It is down to, okay, let's break it down. Height-wise, is it going to be tall enough for the driver, your driver, your chauffeur, let's call him that, to be able to sit in the front, leg room, head room? Are we good there? So, because it's going to be predominantly him that's going to be the dictator of what size vehicle you're going to go for. So Dolphin, Citroen EC3, MG4, Mini may be a small bit small, so you might have to look at the Aceman. And so there's you must have, within that size bracket, Jess, you're probably talking 20, 25 different EVs that are going to be within your scope. And then it's literally, I like that, I don't like that, I want a screen, I don't want a screen. Tesla Model 3 is there, but again, it's probably on the next level up. There have been enough talk over the last 2 years about the Tesla Model 2, because a lot of people want that smaller. They don't need the Model 3 size. And then we've got the likes of Leap Motors coming to the market in a couple of months, brand new to Ireland, part of the Stellantis group, and they do a T03. Now, small city runabout would have limited enough range. You've got the Hyundai Inster, which is a really, really great car for the value. Tall, practical, a 4-seater, sliding rear bench, can fold all the seats. And when I say all the seats, even the front 2 seats, so you could technically go camping down in Carrick-on-Shannon if you wanted to. And that's coming in underneath €25,000. Has vehicle to load technology coming on the new Cross version that's coming in a couple of months. And so, yeah, you're in a really nice space there where there's lots of options for you. Dacia Spring, again, 4-seater, nice and small, €16,000-17,000, you know, warranty, all the rest of it there, brand new car, limited ish range. And so, yeah, I could keep going on here, Jess, but you could get the picture that this is, you're in a good space, and it's getting better with more and more choices out there.
Yeah. Well, look, that is an incredibly useful guide to me, and I'm sure I'm not the only person listening that is finding it useful. So what I might do is go on to nevo.ie, have a snoop around, and I might get you back in to kind of help me whittle down the options. Sure, I'm going to continue to abuse my position.
I send the bill to you, Jess, or do I send it to Newstalk? What way does that work?
We'll work that out some other time. But if you are in the same boat as me and you're considering buying your first car, or maybe your first EV, and you have any questions for Derek, you can email techtalk@newstalk.com. Get in this boat with me so I don't feel as guilty. But for the moment, Derek Riley of nevo.ie, thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thanks, Jess.